T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So just as we were talking about the turf at Williams-Brice Stadium after Beyonce and Jay-Z last night, I got an email. And I learned something from this email from the University of South Carolina. Did you know that the University of South Carolina has an assistant athletics director for turf and landscaping services? That's pretty cool.
That's an important
position. Does
everybody
have that? Everybody have an assistant AD for that?
Well, there's assistant ADs.
For everything?
For everything, yes. That's their title, assistant AD of.
All right. I like it. Anyway, that guy, his name is Clark Cox, is going to meet with the media Saturday morning at 11 o'clock to discuss the replacement of the sod at Williams-Brice Stadium. So they're going to roll out the sod. Roll out new sod.
Do you want that assignment, though? Need you to go down and cover... I mean, no offense to him. I mean, it's awesome he has a title and everything, but is it newsworthy enough that you have to have a press conference?
Well, people are asking, I guess. You know, how can you have a huge concert and then a week and a half later the field be okay?
Hey,
for a football game.
It's his chance to shine.
Yeah,
I don't want to take away from that, but you know.
That's cool. Assistant AD. Pretty good.
That's a nice title.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
He mows the lawn, but... he gets a press conference.
It's a little bit more than that, man. Now look, if that field's in bad shape, he's got a job you don't want.
Exactly. That's the thing. He doesn't want any attention on him.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's a bad thing when the attention's on him. Because we've seen some of these turfs where they've been.
Oh, like the Hall of Fame game, was it?
Yes. They got the game was canceled.
Yeah. Couldn't play on it.
I mean, so it is important. And it does amaze me from your discussion about the technology is how we can grow grass the way they have this and the sod can be replaced like that. And I do remember seeing some of the pictures of out in Arizona how, I mean, that turf, it is basically on a conveyor belt. And to get sunshine, it comes out. It rolls out of the stadium, and then it can roll back in.
Right.
I mean, it's incredible what we have today.
I just ask that you get it right before the Georgia game.
Well, of course. That's a huge game. Are you kidding me?
Or get it wrong in certain places that you know about and they don't.
Yeah, or that. You could do that. All right, it's time for 3 Questions at 3 on 3 Questions today. All right, Lonzo, question numero uno.
All right, the Ohio State Board of Trustees is meeting today. What do you expect the decision on Urban Meyer will be?
Do you want to hear our poll results before you decide, Richmond?
Oh, I think I know my decision. I bet I know the poll results. So you go ahead and share that.
You haven't changed, really, I don't think. 40% say he gets time served, basically the paid administrative leave that he just had. 32% say suspended for X number of games, but meaning less than four or less, I guess we'll put it. We just said suspended for a few games. And only 28% say he'll be fired.
I still think that 28% is high.
Yeah.
Based on the information that we have now and based on some of the reports coming out that they've talked to some sources and some of the dialogue that's coming out based on the investigation, I'm surprised that the number is that high. I did also like the way that you had this question with the Ohio State, and Lonzo made sure to say the Ohio State.
That
Board
was
of
him
Trustees.
With the emphasis.
That
I
was.
Not, I did not capitalize the.
That's how you pronounce it. I don't get what you're saying.
Yeah. So we've talked about it a little bit, and I've even talked about it while you're away, that I'm under the belief now that it's done for Urban Meyer, not in a aspect of being fired. I just mean that he's going to move on. He's going to be coaching again, and I think it's just going to be suspension based on time served during this paid administrative leave because he's, quote-unquote, been away from the football program. And now, that doesn't mean somebody else will get fired, but I don't think it's going to be Urban Meyer now.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Lonzo?
I got to say, I'm concerned about the deliberation taking as long as it is. Because if the investigation was as thorough as it should have been, they should have came in with, you know, I would say suspension, time served, but now I don't think he's getting fired, but now I think he's going to miss some games.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's taken so long to deliberate and we know nothing yet, and they've been sequestered or whatever since, what, 10 a.m., and it's now 3 p.m., and
yep.
we've heard nothing. That is a concern.
Well, yeah, I'm of two minds on that. They could be talking about all the other people. It's not just about Urban Meyer. They're trying to decide what to do about all of us. They could be talking about the AD and others that they might want to get rid of. Or it could be a debate on suspension. They're not going to fire the guy. There's just no way. I don't believe they're going to fire him. So they could be debating 2 games, 3 games, 1 game, 0 games. But I think they'll blame somebody else, and it'll be time served for Urban Meyer. It is interesting. They came out and said, they sent somebody out to reporters and said, there's no guarantee that a resolution will be announced right after today's meeting. Now, last week, they said that President Michael V. Drake will announce his final decision on Meyer after consulting with the board. Everybody assumed that meant at this board meeting, but I guess it doesn't necessarily have to mean that. So anyway, they're saying now you might not get a decision today. So, but I don't think that bodes negatively for Urban Meyer. They're just not going to do it.
I don't
think
so either.
They're not going to pull the trigger on him.
Now, and this is me talking probably out of both sides of my mouth, because I was the one early on that said when this news came out that the story was breaking, I gave it a 0% chance that he was going to be able to keep his job.
Yeah.
But as more information came out.
A lot of us did.
Yeah, but more information is coming out.
People rallied behind Jim Tressel the same way and didn't think anything was going to happen with him either. And look what happened there. I mean, which definitely is a concern if you're an Ohio State fan.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. Question number 2.
How big of a headache will the allegations at Texas A&M be for Jimbo Fisher? I think it's going to be a big headache because now it's out in the media, and I don't mean that negatively. It's out. And so the NCAA...
Don't get the media involved.
Yeah. So the NCAA has had to take notice. And so are they going to investigate? I would think they would have to investigate. And if they start investigating, what if they find some of this stuff is true? And also, more precedents can be set here if he's able to play, because then the floodgates begin to open, which are already starting to do a little bit anyway, and all these players are going to find a reason to call out the team they don't want to play for, call them out on some sort of violation so they can go play somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree it's significant. I mean, we're talking about cash exchanging hands and apparently more than once, and I don't believe this young player is making this up. I don't believe that. But I think it'll take a while. So I don't expect anything to happen immediately to Jimbo Fisher and to his staff. But it's gonna be a little bit of a cloud hanging over the start of his first season at Texas A&M. And that's not good for him. It could be a distraction. And then eventually, like past this football season, when the NCAA gets around to looking into things that are alleged, become a big headache. Right now, just a distraction. Later on, possibly a big headache. What do you think?
I think they're going to want to try to limit this as quickly as possible so it doesn't become this big headache down the road. And I know NCAA, they have to be looking into this now that the story is public and there's information out there. And I would imagine that Thomas Mars, the attorney involved, is probably being contacted by the NCAA because everything's going to go through him rather than the student athlete right now. And, you know, in retrospect, the violations outside of the money, they're not that egregious. I mean, these are minor violations. And some people would even say that, you know, is the cash payment a minor violation? I would argue that it's probably not, but it depends on how Texas A&M handles this as well. And I think that will also impact how big this gets. But as far as Pandora's box, in terms of opening up the floodgates, as these student athletes now are looking for any excuse to try to be able to transfer and not have to sit out, hey, that's the power that they have now. They're savvy enough. They're looking for any way that they can, because the rule is so bad. And so they have to manipulate any type of crack in the rules that there are. And this is something the NCAA put in place. And so the person to really blame or the people to really blame, it's the NCAA as far as the rules. Now, Texas A&M were breaking these rules in terms of payments and things of that nature, then that's on Texas A&M.
All right, final question, Lonzo.
How do you think Adrian Peterson will work out for the Redskins?
You see these quotes about how studly he's looking. He's just looking.
Oh, he's a physical freak,
he's a beast,
right?
He's a freak. Yeah, yes. Freak is what they use it. No, probably not so much. I don't expect Adrian Peterson to have discovered the fountain of youth. It's been, what, 2015 was the last time he had a big year with Minnesota. I mean, he was okay last year. He had 529 yards rushing. I could see Adrian Peterson, if he could stay healthy, getting 500 or 600 or 700 yards rushing, you know, which is nothing to write home about, but contribute. He can contribute for Washington. That's probably a team that makes sense where he could contribute a little bit. But no, Adrian Peterson hasn't gotten younger in the past 3 years and hasn't gotten stronger and hasn't gotten better. And so I don't expect him to be a huge factor, a guy that's going to turn around the Redskins' fortunes and lead them to the promised land. So just, you know, okay, mediocre year for Adrian Peterson is the best I can see for him. What do you think?
About the same. I mean, I know he's a physical freak, but there's also this aspect that running backs, for whatever reason, once they hit a certain age, they decline. Their productivity declines, and I think part of their reason of why productivity declines is their availability. They can't stay healthy, and that's the issue with some of these guys. And I know Adrian Peterson, you see some of the pictures. I mean, he looks really good right now, but this is still preseason. It's early on. He hasn't really played. He's been able to just work out. Now it's going to be a little bit different actually going up against younger NFL competition, and he's going to be taking a lot of hits. And I think if they could get 600 yards out of him, that's a great, I shouldn't say great, that's a really good season for Adrian Peterson with the Redskins.
Lonzo?
All right, he's not coming in to be the starting running back. He's coming in to be a part of the stable. He's coming in to a team with one of the best quarterbacks in the league. They're going to win that division easily. And so not only will he get some pretty good yards, but he'll get the chance to continue in the playoffs.
They don't have any other running backs. I think he's going to have to be the starter.
They might have to start, yeah.
No, there are other running backs on that team.
No, they're all injured.
He was a 2.4 yards per play per carry guy in his most recent
Yeah, but
stint.
He played on a team that was not that – I mean, Arizona was not that great, right? Mm-hmm. So, and Washington's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, but when he was at New Orleans, he didn't
– He says he's going to be the workhorse.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
See, I'm really upset that I baited Richmond and I got nothing.
1,000 yards for AP?
Maybe.
That sounds like you're convinced.
I was more dogging his division and I got nothing.
I know, exactly.
So easy.
Hey, I'm
so
learning.
He must believe that Dallas is not going to be that good.
You're
going
to run away with the division. That's what he said for you.
I'm learning when not to jump in, when not to.
Doesn't mean I won't get you.
I know, exactly.
Let me get one call in before the break. PJ's been hanging on. Hi, PJ. Welcome in to the huddle. You're up next.
BJ.
BJ. Sorry, BJ.
Well, two things I want to hurry up and quickly get off my chest. Me being a diehard Michigan fan, seeing the demise of the Ohio State Suckeyes, as I call them, I think you know which way I would vote. I'm in a 28% range.
Yep.
Hopefully that Urban Meyer get fired and the Ohio State Suckeyes just flat out fall on their face like they did against Clemson 2 years ago, which was a great moment in my life. This Dez Bryant thing I'm hearing that would make sense with him go to the New England Patriots, even though I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan. We drive around town with the Cowboys. But anyway, to see him go to New England would probably make sense. You got Julian Edelman, who's going to have a 4-game suspension, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guys, I think one of the other guys is injured. And, you know, with Gronkowski only being the only big target, it would probably make sense to have maybe one-on-one Dez on the island. You know, if you don't keep Dez temporarily. I think that would be a good fit for him in New England. I think Tom Brady would love to have somebody like that.
That's a good point. Appreciate the call, BJ. Yeah, I think New England makes sense. You know, he was on Hard Knocks, was it last night that aired with Cleveland, his visit to Cleveland, Dez?
It was just recently, yeah, whenever it was.
That kind of makes sense just for him to get some attention. I got a feeling he likes attention a little bit. And
a wide receiver. He's a diva.
To be on that show, you know, puts him back in the limelight. So, you know, maybe that'll get him a little more attention. But, yeah, a place like New England, you know, they have a history of taking risks on castaways and doing pretty well with it. So I think he can make sense.
Don't you believe Dez is going to end up in Cleveland, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe he's going to end up in Cleveland.
But now I thought there were reports out there talking about that the Browns have decided to move on and no longer pursue Dez Bryant.
Maybe. I haven't seen that part. But he got on the show. That's all he cared about.
Maybe they made an offer. He said no. We know he's already turned down one offer. And then when he doesn't get any more offers, maybe he'll be back.
That's right.
All right. That's three questions for today. Appreciate that. Appreciate the call. We'll take a break and come back with more coming up. You're listening to The Huddle. This is ESPN Upstate. It's The Huddle. It's Wednesday on ESPN Upstate. I'm Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, Lonzo in studio until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Back to the phones. Jimmy is next. Welcome in, Jimmy.
Hey, guys.
What's
up?
The
Atlanta Braves management is driving me crazy.
How so, Jimmy?
It's like, well, first off, the minor league pitcher of the day. I think Toco something came up one day, pitched a game, went back to the minors.
Yep.
Bryce Wilson came up for the day, went back to the minors. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yep.
And then Charlie Culberson has literally played every position on the field after pitching the other night in that blowout against Colorado. But, hey, the dude could pitch for an infielder.
Wasn't bad.
I mean, he was throwing 94 miles an hour, man. That guy is amazing.
Yeah, he is.
But I think they were talking to the general manager during the rain delay, Anastopoulos or something like that. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right.
Yeah.
But he was talking about, oh, if there's anybody available in the waivers, we might try to pick somebody up. I mean, they should have picked up Gausman or tried to pick up somebody way before, you know, they picked up Gausman and the other free agents and everything that they went El Chipo on. So, yeah, the Braves are amazing. This team is amazing. That it's amazing that they are 70-55 and two games ahead of the Phillies with all the crap that they're having to deal with management, not getting the guys in there that they need. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I can see the frustration. Appreciate the call there, Jimmy. I can see the frustration, but they've they've gotten kind of lucky too. The Phillies have nobody wants to challenge the Braves in the National League. Nobody's any good. Nobody can get hot behind the Braves. That's part of the story. I mean, the Braves got swept by the Rockies, and they're still two games up.
I know. Well, we talked about this. What I think is one of the reasons why the Braves are where they are right now, it's their consistency. And I'm talking when you're looking at home versus away. Their records are almost identical at home and on the road. And there's not many teams that can really say that. And I think that's especially in the National League. And then when you break it down to the NL East, I mean, they're the only ones. And I think that's why you see them in the position that they're in right now. And so what they have, 37, 36 games left?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're in a prime spot. It's going to be interesting, though, that we also broke it down. The last 10 games of the season, 7 of them are against the Phillies.
Are they?
Yes. Yeah. So if it's close, if it's a 2-3 game lead either way, that's going to be a huge set of games.
Yeah, no question. But the Phillies have now lost 3 in a row, and the Braves back on the winning side have won a couple in a row. They got the 2-game lead right now. They have an issue. I think they have an issue at catcher. First of all, Kirk Suzuki is going to have a CT scan today. He was hit last night in the game with Pittsburgh. He left in the top of the ninth inning. Clay Holmes hit him. He had x-rays. The Braves did not say what they showed. He's batting 261, 9 home runs, 39 RBIs for the Braves, and You know, catcher's probably been that weak position for the Braves if you wanted to point to one. So they got to figure out what to do there and then just figure out, you know, where they're going to continue to beef up pitching for the stretch run. But look, I mean, you know, still two games up in first place. You can't argue with that. You can't argue with success. And the Atlanta Braves still have the lead in the National League East. So they, let's see what's coming up for the Braves ahead and see what we think they're going to do down the road. They have another game with Pittsburgh tonight, 7:05. Julio Teheran's pitching, so yeah, who knows. And then it's at Miami. So opportunity, right? Certainly an opportunity
you
as
would
they
think
play,
so.
Play four with the Marlins, and then they get Tampa Bay for a couple. Then they have, I guess this is a makeup game with the Cubs, standalone game on Thursday the 30th with the Cubs, and then Pittsburgh and then Boston. So it's going to get a little harder as it gets down
yeah,
the stretch.
September is going to be a tough month for the Braves.
Yeah, they got September. They got Boston, Arizona, San Francisco, Washington, St. Louis, Philadelphia, as you said, the Mets, and then Philadelphia again. Yeah.
And what about those Cardinals? Your Cardinals.
They're red hot, baby.
Yes, they are.
Break up the Cardinals. Getting it done. That's what they're doing.
All they needed was that managerial change.
Yeah. We just need
rally. That's what they're doing right now.
I'm not confident, but still. That's all right. We'll take it. The Phillies, by the way, picked up a reliever. They picked up Avalon from the White Sox. That trade announced today. He's made 58 relief appearances. Been pretty good. 2-1, 2 saves, 9 holds, and a 3.86 earned run average. So they're trying to bolster their pitching a little bit as we go forward. Did you hear about DJ Moore, the Panthers wide receiver, and his driving habits? Earlier this month, the Panthers rookie DJ Moore got a speeding ticket. Okay, big deal, right? In a 65-mile-per-hour work zone, DJ Moore was driving 113 miles per hour. 113 miles an hour on I-77.
Just a leisurely cruise for him.
Yeah, right? We talked about this yesterday. It was like, what, 3 o'clock in the morning?
2:52 a.m.
On 77. It's probably the only time during the entire 24-hour period when there's no traffic on 77. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get lost. You don't realize that you're going that fast.
You don't realize you're going 113 miles an hour.
It can if you're driving a car that wants to go fast, you can't help it. Uh-huh. And I can see where that can happen.
It was a Mercedes, so, you know, good car. So, obviously, probably a pretty quiet ride. Wasn't vibrating all over the road.
No, it probably was not, which I know that's what happens to me. That's why I've never been able to get up to 113 because my car might fall apart.
Yeah, you know, an older car kind of keeps you honest there.
I just got to say, it's very easy, especially if it's a newer car, to accidentally go faster than you thought you were going.
Faster is one thing. That's 113 miles an hour, Alonzo.
I'm wondering if I would notice if I was going 100. Actually, I've been that fast before. Probably.
You probably noticed.
Not presently. My first car, I buried the needle on my Camaro to see how fast it would go. Mm-hmm. But I'm beyond that now.
That's intentional.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, Moore came to Ron Rivera and explained what happened. He said, Rivera said he was remorseful. We chastised him.
Yeah, you idiot. Why'd you get caught? At least he wasn't racing.
He reminded DJ you have a responsibility to the community to not go 113 miles an hour in a work
zone. How is that irresponsible? Well,
how is it irresponsible?
Work zone. Okay. I gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, no big deal for DJ Moore. He didn't hurt anybody, thankfully. But
don't you generally get arrested for something like that? Isn't there a certain amount over the speed limit that you can be arrested for?
Yeah, especially in a work zone. You could probably be taken to jail for that, right?
Yeah. I always see the signs. Fines are doubled.
Yeah. Do you think he said, do you know who I am? And they did, and so they didn't.
Fair question. I don't know.
It is Charlotte. So, I mean.
Got away with it somehow. I'd like to know how much the ticket was.
I think he can afford
it. Yeah, I don't know if he's getting away with it.
Yeah, I think he can afford it.
I would imagine he's paying some type of fine.
The ticket, yeah.
There might be a few points on that license.
844-477-3776. Break time. Back with more coming up. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We're back to Huddle on ESPN Upstate. 844-477-3776. On the Health Dare text line, you can get us at 71307. And Twitter, of course, at ESPN Upstate. Good get for Brad Brownell, college basketball recruiting news today. 6'3 guard Chase Hunter of Atlanta commits to Clemson. And it, you know, a lot of people thought he would go to Georgia. Tom Crean. Hunter has family ties to Georgia. His father, receiver Bryce Hunter, for the Georgia football team. Unfortunately, his father, Bryce, was killed in 2004. His mother played basketball at Georgia, and he had visited Georgia, but he chooses Clemson. Said he likes the facilities and the academics, likes Brad Brownell's style of basketball. He says they play a lot of pick and rolls, and they get out and run, and that's what he likes to do. Says he's an athletic guard. So this is a big one for the Clemson Tigers because they are losing their starting backcourt after the season coming up this year. And so he'll have a chance to play. Likes the fact that he can play in the ACC, of course. He also was looking at Virginia, Michigan State, and Oklahoma. 19 points a game and will be a Clemson Tiger. So Brad Brownell continues to do work, getting some good players. That's a good get when you take that guy out of Georgia.
Very big for Clemson and Brad Brownell, especially coming off of the heels of not being able to secure Zion Williamson. We know, you know, how that played out, and this is significant in being able to add some more depth, especially as you mentioned with Marquise Reed and Shelton Mitchell going to be moving on next year. I mean, this would be nice to have that type of caliber, and you can get caught up with how many stars a player has and or doesn't have. But what I like to see is it's not even necessarily sometimes the number of stars, but it's the other teams that are recruiting. Mm-hmm. And that's what when you start seeing guys making choices between those type of teams, the Oklahomas, the Virginias, then, okay, now those are the type of players that you're hoping as a Clemson fan that the basketball team's going to be signing.
Yeah, no question. Like that one for Clemson, so congratulations to Brad Brownell on that pickup. Announced today. Here's an update from Ohio State. Fans have started showing up outside the Board of Trustees meeting, and they're bringing lawn chairs. And the media is interviewing the fans because nobody's coming out and telling the media anything about the meeting. So they got to interview somebody.
They've got to have some type of content. They got to have some type of speculation.
Yeah. We're coming up on 7 hours that this Board of Trustees meeting has been going on. And Urban has been inside the building for about 6 of those hours. So he is there, sitting around waiting. And, you know, fans, do you think they're getting nervous? Is that, or where they have come anyway? Do you think they're getting nervous because they haven't gone ahead and said, hey, Urban's cool, he's back?
I think they're getting nervous.
I think they are getting nervous, yes. I do. I agree with Lonzo.
And so if they come out and say Urban has been fired, there could be a big scene out there. Not that I think they're going to do that.
I don't think they're going to catch anything on fire or something. There'll be great disappointment. There'll be wailing, and then they'll go home.
Yeah. I guess a couple of things. Why is Urban there? You think he spoke to them? I mean, he had, by all indications, he hasn't been in there talking to them. He's just been waiting around.
He's helping to pick who the next AD is going to be.
He'll come out and make the announcement. I'd like to announce I'm staying as the head coach, and our new athletic director will be.
Will be me, Urban Meyer. I will now presume the role of athletic director and
just do
head
both,
coach.
Right? Yeah. Shelly Meyer, we are told, is in the building. What does that mean? His wife.
Well, she's also a employee of Ohio State University.
Yeah, but she didn't be in that building, that part of the campus.
Well, she's part of the investigation.
Yeah, she's part of the controversy because she supposedly
that, but
knew.
They're not re-interviewing everybody on the controversy, surely.
Oh, I think they are.
Do you really?
I think
Why have a committee if you're going to do the interviewing yourself?
Maybe you interview everybody separately, then you bring them together to see if how they
That's what investigators do, guys.
I know.
Yeah, but
not
the investigators are just getting the facts. This is now when you're talking about personnel issues and how you're going to handle future employment. And if there are any suspensions, I think they're going to have some type of due process. It doesn't have to be, this is not any type of legal system, but I imagine there's probably a protocol within the university that if you have some type of allegation brought against you, that you have the ability to defend yourself within the system of the organization.
Well, that could be this meeting could last weeks then. Because they got a bunch of people.
Well, no, but there's only a handful of people that are actually in a position that potentially could be suspended or lose their job.
They're going to talk to all of them?
Well, who all are we talking about? It's really Urban Meyer. That's it.
I was going to say, they've had all day. I'm sure they've talked to a lot of people.
That's really it. They fired Zach Smith.
Right.
They're not going to fire Shelly Meyer. So the only person that this really affects is Urban and potentially the athletic director, Gene Smith. Or maybe there's some subordinate under Gene Smith.
We don't know who all
we don't.
Knew about this and should have talked about it.
At least Zach Smith has come out and said that Gene Smith knew about it because Gene Smith is the one who called him while he was out on the road recruiting to tell him to come back to Columbus, that there's some domestic abuse allegations against you.
Right. Here's the tweet of the day. A source says the Ohio State Board of Trustees has taken a recess to watch a few segments of the Feinbaum show. That might help them make a final decision.
I was wondering if you saw that.
Yeah.
John the power Hayes. Of Feinbaum.
John Hayes is a producer on a station in Charlotte. He tweeted that. He made that up. That's not true, people.
Yes, that is not true. That's sarcasm. That's
but it is true
to be funny.
That fans are showing up with lawn chairs outside the building.
I wonder if there's a live feed somewhere. Probably would be.
Yeah, you would think.
If there was a live feed of Post Malone airplane landing yesterday, emergency landed, I would imagine there's some type of
live feed of this.
Live feed of that.
There'll be some Facebook lives going on. All right, final break, 844-477-3776. You can text us on the Health Dare text line, 71307. We'll be right back in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Yeah, talk about jobs you don't want. I don't want to be a reporter having to sit outside that board meeting and just wait while Ohio State fans gather with their lawn chairs.
Is this on campus? It's a pretty nice campus.
You
got some shade going on. You might be all right.
They're tailgating the board meeting.
Watch some Netflix on your phone or something. You're all right.
I don't know. Just not something I want to have to. I'm glad I'm not out covering this story.
They sent pizza out there. What else do you
need?
They
did. They sent.
Hopefully there's a porta potty somewhere.
Sent the media some pizza. So there is that. Word out of San Antonio that Manu Ginobili is seriously considering retirement. Why did I not know this, that he had not already decided to retire?
It seemed like he had already retired, right?
Yeah, I took it for granted that he was retiring. I think you should really seriously consider it, Manu.
Yeah, why is it news that he's considering it? Either do it or don't.
I think the news is that he would consider coming back, right?
Correct. I mean, there was questions for the past 2 years if he was going to retire or not.
Right.
And last year, he went through the same type of process and decided to play.
He is 41 years old, and he has been working out regularly at the Spurs practice facility. Sources say he is, quote, strongly confronting the possible end to his historic 16-season run with the Spurs. That includes 4 NBA championships. He's going to talk with Pop. Greg Popovich plans a meeting with him. Popovich has been in Europe, though, so maybe he's just been waiting for Pop to get back from Europe so he can tell him first. He took place in the league's Basketball Without Borders event. The Spurs are hopeful Ginobili will want to return. Do we believe that?
Veteran presence could come in and still get you some points, and a good locker room, guy.
Mm-hmm.
So why not?
Mm-hmm. I guess.
He's going to need to be able to mentor DeMar DeRozan to help DeMar understand the Spurs way.
Get him past his depression, all that kind of stuff.
And they no longer have Tony Parker. He's with the Hornets now. I'm having trouble getting used to that, too. Tony Parker, Charlotte Hornet.
Well, that's what I mean. The Spurs are no longer the team that we remember the Spurs as.
Yeah, why do you want to come back with no Tony Parker, no Kawhi Leonard, no Danny Green?
Who still plays for the Spurs without looking?
I don't know.
DeMar DeRozan?
DeMar DeRozan.
LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah. I don't know. He averaged 20 minutes a game last season, talking about Ginobili here, about just under 9 points, 8.9 points per game. And was the 57th overall pick back in 1999. It's been almost 20 years. He starred in Europe before he joined the Spurs for his rookie NBA season in 2002. I mean, you know, I guess I'll allow it if he wants to come back, but I just don't see it.
He had the most noticeable bald spot forever.
Yeah,
so glad when he finally shaved that.
Yes, I would agree. And the Spurs have not been the same type of organization, in my opinion, since Tim Duncan retired. He seemed to be the glue. I know it's the Pop show and it's Greg Popovich's team, but from a player perspective, it just seems that things changed when Tim Duncan left.
Yeah.
Was he the ringleader that was able to hold the team together and have this, you know, Spurs mentality? And once he left, did that open the door, so to speak, for like a Kawhi Leonard to be outspoken and say, this is not really my cup of tea. I'm not buying into this way.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that Duncan was the main guy. But, you know, they still have Pop. He should be able to hold them together.
Yeah, but he's almost, you know, the grumpy old man at times.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Setting his ways, not evolving, not, you know, looking at a different or from things from a different vantage point or a different lens.
You know, speaking of Kawhi going to the Raptors, did you hear where they're hiring a Spurs staffer, close friend of Kawhi, to come in? Jeremy Castleberry will come in to coach on the Raptors staff. He has worked with Leonard as a Spurs staffer, played with Leonard in high school and at San Diego State. He walked on there. Leonard can test free agency next summer, the summer of 2019. So the Raptors president of basketball operations took a significant risk with this transaction by bringing this guy in. Part of his plan to ultimately convince Leonard to re-sign with the Raptors next summer. And hiring Castleberry won't hurt that chance. The Raptors would be able to offer Kawhi Leonard a five-year, $190 million contract next summer. If he leaves the Raptors, he could sign a four-year, $141 million deal with a team that has the available salary cap space. And so far, his preference has been to sign in Los Angeles with either the Lakers or the Clippers, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. So we'll see where that goes. But they're doing everything they can to try to not make this just a one-year deal, the Raptors, with Kawhi Leonard. And then kind of a sad story out of Indianapolis. Longtime announcer Bob Lamy announced his retirement as the voice of the Colts. It seems like there was a reason for that. He used a racial slur while retelling a story last week to a friend. Lamy's attorney released a statement today acknowledging that he used inappropriate language during an off-the-air conversation last week and immediately apologized for those involved. The attorney said Bob does want to acknowledge that while repeating a story off the air last week to a friend at a local radio station, he used an inappropriate word that had been used in the story. Bob immediately apologized to the people involved for the comment and would hope that this error in judgment would not tarnish his long-held reputation in the sports community, where he's been known as an accurate and passionate reporter. Local television station website claimed an employee at Emmis Communications heard the comment, reported it to the radio station's human resources department. They contacted the Colts. Colts Chief Operating Officer Pete Ward issued a statement that said, in part, that the Colts deplore and do not tolerate the use of any racial slur in any context. On Monday night, he was replaced in the booth by Matt Taylor. Players like Pat McAfee and right tackle Ryan Deem immediately weighed in to praise Lamy. Reggie Wayne, the Colts' second leading receiver of all time, said he was the absolute best, but obviously not ending on the note that he would like as his tenure there with the Colts announcing crew. All right, we're done for today. Maybe we'll have some Urban Meyer news tomorrow. If not, we'll continue the watch.
I'm going to get my lawn chair and I'll make the drive up there.
I appreciate that. So we'll talk about whatever happens there. We'll get into the high school football weekend schedule coming up because it'll already be Thursday tomorrow. And we'll continue to watch baseball with the Braves and practice for South Carolina and Clemson as well as other teams in the area. Join us tomorrow, 1 o'clock, in the huddle here. Straight Up and Sturge is coming up next. We'll see you then on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.